Save money and energy like a boss. Find ideas and incentives for your facility from the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program at ComEd.com/likeaboss.
Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Stream the show on the new ESPN Chicago app. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. On ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out.
So Kyle Schwarber is now a free agent. There's some talk the Cubs could talk to him about signing a lower price deal of some length. Good morning, Hoodie. How are you?
I am well. We got a lot to talk about today.
So the Cubs say goodbye to Albert Elmora Jr., no surprise. White Sox say goodbye to Carlos Rodon and Nomar Mazara, no surprise. Schwarber, while I might not have been surprised, I think there are a lot of fans that are either surprised or, like Danny, disappointed at the Cubs' decision to cut loose a guy who was a World Series hero, was going to make $8 million, which, while that's a ton of money to all of us, that's not huge money in the Major League Baseball landscape. So, as a White Sox fan, do you want Kyle Schwarber on the South Side?
I was thinking about it because you'd love to have a left-handed thumper, someone that wants to prove that, hey, you know what, I had my time with the Cubs, I've got my ring, now I could be able to do something on the South Side, and I don't have to move. Mm-hmm. I'll stay right where I am. Wherever Schwarber lives, he could still be able to live in Chicago. So I think that if the White Sox do have that commitment to winning, which I believe that they do, if you want to add something in a pandemic-friendly type of contract, a year or two for $8 or $10 million, I think it's worth it.
Does he fill a role simply as, well, he's a big bat, we'll take a shot? Because you got Andrew Vaughn coming. You've got Jose Abreu. You need a right fielder. That is not Kyle Schwarber's forte. So where does he fit?
Schwarber?
Yeah, because you got Aloy over there.
He could be the DH or the left fielder, right? See, the thing is about Aloy, I need Aloy to have something to do, you know, because him in left field, you want him to be a better left fielder. I can't see him just playing grab ass with the rest of the White Sox on the bench for four at-bats. I don't like him just being idle for four at-bats. I think I need him to move around. I mean, he's got a great personality, but he's so young and so, you know, and you can just tell he's one of the bright personalities of the White Sox. I need him in the outfield, leaving people alone. And I also like the dynamic between him and Robert, right? I mean, Aloy's out there like a statue, and Robert's, he's covering left field, he's covering right field.
Center.
He's everywhere, right?
Yeah, he's so, all over the place.
So I like him being able to do something. It's like having kids around where you're just like, you know, I don't think I want my kid just to be idle. I want him to, hey, read a book, do something, right? And same thing with Aloy. Those four bats, him just sitting around, he might go to a local Bridgeport bar between at-bats. Who knows with him?
So, good morning, Danny and Jeff and J.R. Meller. As a White Sox fan, you'll be hosting White Sox Weekly starting on Saturday. Do you want Schwarber?
I'm intrigued by the left-handed stick that he would add to the White Sox lineup, but I don't see a great fit in terms of what the White Sox currently have with their DH rotation, whether it's Abreu, Aloy, and Grandal. And then you mentioned, too, Cap, that Andrew Vaughn, at some point, you would imagine he will be on his way. So I just don't see where you can slot Schwarber in for the money that you're going to spend. It would be the best use of their resources. And I need my, you know, weekly to monthly Aloy jumping into the net highlight. So don't take that away. Don't take that away from me as a White Sox fan. I love that.
Well, let me tell you something. Now that Tillis is going to be in the dugout, those days are over. We had fun with Renteria when he allowed crap to happen. But now La Russa's in there. As soon as he rolls right into the fisherman's net, he's going to get pulled.
So,
Tony, why'd you pull the young guy? He's entertaining. Why'd you do that? I mean, you love him in the net every month. Why would you do that? I pulled you out of the drunk tank. But the point is, though, it's like, I mean, that's the thing, though, right? You, I mean, do you want your DH to be, was it 24? You know? I mean, that's usually for a veteran.
Right. It's like you're giving up. You can't play in the outfield anymore. You're done.
Yeah. So right. I want him to get better. But I still like the idea of some left-handed thunder if that's the way the Sox are going. Now, Vaughn is someone we don't know. Schwarber we do know. That's the thing. But don't bury the lead this morning, sir, because there's some sadness on the show today. There's sadness because our good friend Danny Zetterman does not want to let go.
He doesn't.
I mean, there was a championship team that he saw.
Yeah, going on five seasons ago.
Yeah, no, but still. This is the winningest that he's seen the Cubs in his lifetime, and same with me. Haven't seen the Cubs in a role like this ever.
Right.
Ever.
But I was debating with Danny and JR when I came in. Danny's like, I can't believe just $8 million. We can't find $8 million is a lot of freaking money when you're trying to cut payroll. The guy hit .189. I know that at batting average doesn't matter. I get it.
No, it matters. Don't let them talk you out of that. Hold on to it, man. It's only you and I together.
That's it.
Holding on to the
Mellor's
batting
like,
average.
What a stupid stat. How about wins for a pitcher, too?
You know what? That also matters.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When Quintana was pitching on the south side, I'd be like, oh, what did he go, 7-7? Wins don't matter. Yeah, they don't matter except the good ones always find a way to stack them up. Justin Verlander always gotten 18 wins. Scherzer's always battling for 20 wins.
Yeah.
Oh, but he's Jose Quintana. It doesn't matter, really. Look at the analytics. His spin rate tells you that he commands elite prospects.
I know.
Go F yourself. That guy was such a horrible trade.
All right, leave Benetti out of this. Point is, though, is that we're just trying to figure out a way to be able to understand that all those stats matter. Don't let him talk you out of it. This is what we had as kids. We had wins and losses in ERA. And
RBIs.
We had RBI and we had average. Hold on. And by the way, when you go to arbitration or when you go.
They look at those numbers.
They look at everything.
Yeah.
They don't say, you know, that whole batting average thing, we don't matter. Now, let's take a look at your spin rate. Let's take a look. No. They don't worry about your launch angle.
Correct.
How much production did you put up?
Kyle, why did you hit 189?
They're not worried about that. They're worried about all those things, right? But you have to understand Danny's sadness, though, and any Cub fan. You understand that more than likely this is the beginning of the end. You do realize that even though in my lifetime, as someone who was born in 72, Danny's 77, I believe, when he grew. I mean, we haven't seen the Cubs
Danny
look like
is
this.
77 years old.
When he was born in 77.
Oh.
Stay with us now. we watched the Cubs, and we hadn't seen the Cubs win like this. We went through it earlier today. The first team I saw that was a winning team was the Fry team in 84. 84, 89, 98, did you say?
84, 89, 98, 03,
03
in the 7 and 8.
In the Pinella years.
Right.
That's it. So you can understand why he's holding on to it. But at the same time, you got to know when the end is near. I would say that the Cubs probably should have broke this up maybe a year ago, maybe two.
No doubt.
Now, break it up. When I say break it up, someone will say, you mean tear it down to the studs? That's not what I mean. You got to have more interchangeable parts if you can. Say, okay, if we're not hitting here after 2 years after winning the World Series, we've got to be able to plug some more production in.
Agreed.
Theo did not do that.
Correct. They kept riding with the same core. And Danny kept saying to me, but they made the playoffs this year and scored one run in two playoff games. The bottom line is, in my opinion, Daniel, you're trying to build to win a championship. Can we win a championship? And as currently constituted, the Chicago Cubs cannot.
Are they closer to a championship with Kyle Schwarber on the roster, Chris Bryant, Javi Baez, Wilson Contreras? Bryant, Baez, Contreras, they tendered, right? So they'll be back next season, unless, of course, they trade them. That's an option. They could trade them, and that may happen. But right now, on paper, those three guys are on the team. Anthony Rizzo's still on the team. Yu Darvish, who almost won the Cy Young, is still on the team. Kyle Hendricks, who we know who he is still on the team. You bring back Schwarber for $8 million, which in baseball is not a lot of money. You can look around the league, and teams have spent $8 million in far worst ways. For me as a Cubs fan, that gives me more hope than waking up this morning saying, all right, they're throwing away the pieces from 2016 and it's time for Jed and company to rebuild.
What about the pitching?
Well, they need pitching. We know that they need pitching, but that's something that they could Adjust. What's that? You're driving somewhere, Cap? I'm lost. The Twitch audience and I are...
We're doing Harry Carey hoodie.
Hoodie's doing Harry Carey drinking beer. You're, like, driving a bus.
I've got his mic.
I didn't understand. I was like, listen, I try not to get distracted when I talk on the air, but that, my friend, was distracting. Also, here's the thing with Kyle Schwarber.
They're not closer with him.
Quickly, the thing with Kyle Schwarber. Yeah. First of all, when I'm 70 years old, the legend of what Kyle Schwarber did in 2016 on one leg is going to be massive. Yeah. Like, he's going to go in the all-time list of Cubs greats simply based on 2016. I'll never forget game one, that double on, you know, on one leg, jaw-dropping, right?
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, Cub fans have said for how long, well, if the DH ever comes to the NL, we've got our guy. Last I checked, I think the DH is in the NL the last season and this upcoming season.
Like, no, it's not in yet for this year.
But the odds are it will be.
That's the way God wants it. Go ahead.
It will be. So my point simply is, for $8 million to bring him back with Bryant, Baez, Contreras, and Rizzo, it made sense to me.
Yeah, not to me. Time to cut ties, period.
Because you don't think that the playoffs are good enough. Can this group get to the playoffs? That's another question. If you go as is with Bryant returning, a healthy Bryant returning, you may get to the playoffs either way, but you don't see value in it because you're not close to the World Series, right?
Correct. And then everybody leaves at the end of next year because now you can't tender them contracts. They're free agents. They'll be gone. You get nothing. No. Rip the scab off. Let's go. It should have been done 2 years ago. The end of 18... We got the audio in there somewhere of Theo going, our offense is broken. And they did nothing to address it. Zero. Time to rip the Band-Aid off. Jed, you got a 5-year contract. You're making more money than you ever made in your life. Never, ever thought you'd make that kind of money. And I'm thrilled you're our president. Rip the freaking Band-Aid off and let's go.
Well, here's a deeper conversation regarding the future for the Cubs. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Two of the major assets, two of the major things that you look at for Cubs baseball under Theo was that Theo was in charge and the money was available for the Cubs to be able to get who they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you have neither.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean that you'll get to where you need to be in 5 years with Jed? Will you get back to the World Series under Jed? If you're going to tear it down to its studs.
Yeah, I don't think I'm tearing it to the studs because there's too much talent in the organization. You've got, you know, I can name you 5 or 6 guys who are top 150 players in the system.
All suspects until you see them on the field.
No question.
Can you do that without the two key elements to Cubs baseball, Theo and the money?
I can't tell you they're going to get to a World Series in the next 5 years. I can tell you I think... It's finally, hey, man, we've got to get lean, mean, and then we can get back active. But to go throw $8 million at a guy that hit .189, whether batting average matters or not, no. Sorry. And if they get him done on a shorter or cheaper deal, God bless him. They've got to change the narrative around there.
How much is that? How much time is that going to take? Because especially when you don't have your building blocks, do you have your building blocks to say, okay, if we don't tear it down to our studs, we're going to be able to have at least because you got to have some kind of a foundation. You can't just start from zero. What's your foundation for that? An aging Rizzo? You got to think about like
you don't have a foundation.
Okay, well then that's going to be
you drafted the kid out of the South Side.
Yeah,
Ed Howard.
Yeah,
but he's 3 years away.
Okay, so now we're going back to 100 lost teams now.
No, because I think you can be. You've got Javi for another year. Perhaps they get him signed.
Hap,
you got Horner will be at second. Ian Hap's going to be around. Horner's a really good player. I like him a lot.
Hayward.
Yeah, Hayward's he's a good leader. He'll teach people how to be a pro. He's not a great player, but he's not a bad player. But he's 31. He makes $23.5 million a year. That ain't going away.
Right.
Darvish, $22 million. He's 34 years of age.
Hendricks
is making $14 million a year. Now, you're going to get Kimbrel's money off the books after this coming year. We'll get into this. Cubs fans, are you good with the Cubs letting Kyle Schwarber walk away as a free agent? Sox fans, do you want Schwarber on the South Side 312-332-3776. He's Hoodie. I'm Cap. ESPN.
Take that.
Get social with our new morning show. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
Cap and J Hood.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
So if you're a White Sox fan, do you wake up this morning going, go sign Kyle Schwarber? You can sign him today. He's a free agent. If you're a Cubs fan, you go, I can't believe you let Schwarber leave. Sylvie's got to be waking up in the suburbs, brokenhearted. That's his guy. His guy who hit a buck 89, Sylvie. Buck 89. Great kid. Phenomenal person. He gave us a thrill in the World Series and helped contribute mightily to that title. That's five freaking seasons ago going into this next year.
All right, so we have to turn the page at some point, all right? So it's Schwarber so far. Now, what else will Jed do? Because, as you mentioned, because of the biblical proportions that the Cubs are losing financially, they're going to do more than this, right?
Absolutely.
So do you expect Bryant to be on the ball club next year?
I don't.
They're going to make some kind of deal, right?
I would think.
I keep seeing the rumors from David Schoenfeld and others about where
Bryant
could go.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I mean, so I think that that's the next shoe to drop, isn't it?
But I think people out there are going to be like, that's all they got for Chris Bryant? Yeah, that's all they got in a pandemic where he's going to make $20 million coming off an injury-plagued season. Yeah, and he's a free agent in a year. That's right. You're not going to get a lot for him. And they're not re-signing him. I'm just telling you. He can bark all he wants at press conferences. I didn't get any extension offers. That's a lie. That is not true.
I agree with what you're saying, Cap, but I think the question is, you know, you're throwing out, you're asking White Sox fans, is Schwarber somebody you'd want them to go out and sign? And I don't know. Like, I've been following baseball a long time. I don't know. Do you, either of you guys have any idea what the free agent market is going to look like? We see, because of COVID-19...
Slow.
Of course, it's going to be slow, but, you know, you see all these guys across baseball who have been non-tendered, who are solid veteran players, which is just going to suppress the value for every free agent out there. So, you know, the Cubs saying we're not going to pay Schwarber $8 million is understandable because, I don't know, is he going to get $3 million, $4 million for 1 year this year? What's the market going to be for these players? I don't think any of us have a real understanding because if you're not, like, an elite player... Someone like Charlie Morton, who got a one-year deal for $15 million. Like, I don't know what the market is right now for free agents.
Well, I'll look at it from this standpoint.
Slow moving.
I'm a different type of cat when it comes to watching assets and watching my sports teams. You see, I know all of these owners have money. They have money. They have to decide whether or not they want to spend it or not. I'm not really caught up in that in a non-really salary cap sport in baseball. Get the best assets you can and then move forward. Or if you feel like you've reached a ceiling with your team like the Cubs and say, man, this team just won't hit. I got to be able to diversify it. I got to be able to break it up a little bit. Then go ahead and do that. I'm not really concerned about what Schwarber is going to make in the open market or how much money he's going to. That doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is this Cubs team ready to win in the next 5 years or not under Jed? That's my bottom line on all of it.
Okay, so are you looking at that as Hoodie the Sox fan who grew up in the shadow of the ballpark? What was your late father's name?
Bob.
Bob. Mm-hmm. Bob Hood's son who dad's taking me to the baseball game. Or are you looking at it as the astute, highly polished sportscaster who goes, all right, hold on a second. They've tried this since the World Series. It hasn't worked. And they've got 1 year of control left. Yeah, I got to start rebuilding, man. I got to start cutting some payroll here. We're in a pandemic. So my trained eye, not my fan heart of Bob Hood's son, my trained eye tells me, yeah, move anybody you want. I don't care.
Yeah, I got two eyes, so I could do both at the same time.
I can't split it.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I can because here's what I look at. All right, so the entertainment side of me says, okay, so we're going to lose a lot of games here, but I'm going to be whole on the other side, right? So I'm not worried about the money aspect as much as it is, can I win? How fast can I win again? I may not get to the World Series, but I got to be on that rung of the ladder of at least trying to get to the playoffs. This team, more than likely, because of the lack of pitching, can't even get to me to the playoffs in 2021.
Unless you spend on pitching.
Right, which I will not.
Right.
Which I will not. It's not because I don't have the money. It's just that you look at this team that couldn't hit. I needed to have proof that this team could be able to hit, right? I've got Darvish and I got Hendricks. Then I've got Alec Mills and I've got Alzolay, you know, and I don't know what that is in 2021.
Correct.
But Cap, if I'm a Cubs fan, I'm looking at it realistically and saying, okay, so Bryant, the outspoken Bryant, they had a heel turn. I don't know what happened with Bryant.
Starting at spring training.
Don't understand that. He's taking an hour to explain, like, putting all his cards out on the table. It's like, who are you now?
I don't know where he came up with that. I got offered an extension like that. I never saw it.
Yeah, okay.
That was weird. I don't know where that came from. So I want that guy off my team, too, because I don't know what his deal is, but I want him off the team. Schwarber, you have to kind of turn the page. And you got to keep in mind, good general managers, good front office people will have the foresight to know, okay, I'm going to cut the cord now because the team's not hitting. It's one thing for Danny as a fan to say, you know, I got the feels of the championship years. Well, those days are gone, brother. You got to look for the future. That's where I would be at. That's where I would be if I'm a Cub fan. The future.
Yeah,
I am all in on let's rebuild this for the future. I would trade you, Darvish. I'm just being honest. I would trade Darvish. I would keep Hendricks. He's on a very manageable salary. He is locked up for the next 3 years.
Younger asset,
leader in my room. I am absolutely hanging on to him unless somebody called me with some insane offer. But you, Darvish, at 34, by the time I'm ready to win a World Series again, barring a fluke, I want Darvish to bring back prospects for me. Like the White Sox, they need one more really good arm. You, Darvish, going to the White Sox makes a hell of a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Not on the north side.
Yeah, the Sox also have some prospects that's in the pipeline. And so the other thing that we got to mention, too, building that farm system, and then when you're ready to win, you could spend some money. Once you get fans back at the ballpark, now you can get the revenue streams back to be able to do that. Because the landmark status, as you mentioned, right, when you told us all about the landmark status, that money's not going to go toward the roster at all, right?
Correct. It goes to the financing of the $1 billion they spent on the area.
Got it.
So that's all accounted in the finance. It's not like, oh, my God, we got $150 million extra dollars. No.
That's where I'd spend it.
They knew it was coming.
Exactly. If I could, that's where I'd spend
it. Until you had to make those debt service payments on $1 billion.
Yeah. How's the Starbucks doing around Wrigley?
Closing.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, there you go. Dutch and Docks, all those places are like, we can't make any money here. Yeah. Let's go to the phones. 312-332-3776. Felix is in Humboldt Park. Felix, good morning, Sparky.
Hey, what's going on, Cappy here? How are you guys?
What's up? Good, man.
Hey, listen, I'm with you, man. I'm a Cub that hard to the day I'm not here. But the thing is, I don't want to be like the Bears where we are 7-9, picking 13, 14, 15. If we're going to go ahead and break this up down, let's break it down. Let's get some prospects. Let's take a couple of years, and let's get these guys ready to roll again in about 4 or 5 years. I don't want to be in the middle of the pack again. I don't want to start spending money, and then we're going to be stuck in deals, and then we can't do this, and we can't do that. I want to go ahead and break it down. As much as it hurts me, let's break it up, man. You know, Bryant, Baez, you know, it hurts me, but Theo stood there 2 years ago and said it's broken and did nothing about it. I mean, that was his chance to go ahead and continue to build a dynasty upon when we started it, and he never did it, man. I mean, it hurts me, but let's just break it up. Let's get some prospects. Let's get some people in here, young kids in here. And you got that kid shortstop that's coming up 3 years from now, like you said, Cap. Let's build on that kid, on the catcher. Let's just get some prospects. Let's just get some prospects, and let's do it again. Boston's doing it right now. And who knows, Boston in a couple of years might be contending again. We don't know, but let's just break it up. Let's
I'm with you.
Felix, I'm thanks, sorry, man. Have a great day, all right?
Yeah, you just here's what a Cub fan does not want to say. Yeah, you don't want to go back to the 100 lost teams. But
you
if
don't have to.
Yeah, but, I mean, well, here's the thing. Well, I asked you about the foundation, right? Is your foundation Ian Happ and Hayward?
I think those are complementary pieces. I don't think either guy well, we know Hayward's not a star. And I think Ian Happ's a very solid player. He's not a star.
Wow, Hayward's not a star, huh?
No. Wow. He's a star leader. He's not a star player.
Has he ever been a star player?
No.
Okay.
But he got paid like one.
Okay. All right. How about how about a star defensive player?
Yeah, he's a gold glove defender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't take those away from him, but as far as a difference maker at the plate, you don't think that he's
that
guy.
No, he's just a solid major league player who's an awesome person and an amazing leader in the room.
So he's no different than Dexter Fowler, is what you're saying?
They're similar. He's a better defender than Dexter Fowler. Both are great leaders. I want him in my room when I'm ready to win.
Mm-hmm.
Rizzo, awesome.
Star?
Great face.
Star?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, star. Yeah.
Rizzo, star. Hayward, not a star.
Yeah, look at the numbers, though. You've had Rizzo multiple years, 30 and 100, and a gold glove.
Yeah.
Hayward, he had his moments where you go, yeah, that was a big hit there, but still in all, he's an average hitter.
So then you have Hayward, you've got Happ, and you've got Kyle Hendricks. That's three.
Yep.
As your base.
That's it.
Yeah.
And Javi, if I keep him.
So many moving parts. See, Jed's got a really big deal. And Theo had to go through this as well, though, Cap. It is building that minor league system. And when you have fans back in the ballpark, where do you spend your money? Where are you allocating your money? In this offseason, the Cubs got to find out who their center fielder is, maybe who their third baseman is, and maybe their catcher, right? Any takers for Contreras?
Oh, God, I think people would be lined up because you get two more years of control on him.
Right.
So give me two more years of control on Wilson Contreras, and he doesn't make a ton of money in baseball terms. Yeah, you would get a haul back.
And you got your universal DH and David Bodie.
That's it. Well, he'll be your third baseman if you trade Bryant.
Yeah, and you said, you don't think much of Bodie. Bodie's just a guy.
That's Danny's guy. He loves David Bodie.
Yeah, and you see him as just a guy.
Danny doesn't.
I like David a lot. Let's not confuse the situation. Like David Bodie could be on the next ship out with Kyle Schwarber.
Hey.
Like David Bodie and I have always had a really good working relationship. Mm-hmm. I like David a lot. He's not a great player. He's just a solid major leaguer that can play third. You can move him to second. He gets a big pinch hit. And I like him as a guy. We were doing the show on the rooftop of the Sheraton. It's a Sheraton, right?
Correct. Sheraton Mesa.
Sheraton Mesa.
Mm-hmm.
Danny and I stay in it's like the greatest remote ever. You get a nice room. You walk out. You go down to the lobby, grab your coffee. Danny prints off the commercials right back up. We're overlooking the pool. I mean, it's like, and so here comes David Bodie. Hey, Cap, how you doing? I get a little hug.
Yeah.
Sits down. Danny's trying to talk to him, and he basically
No. Let's not change
Danny.
The story. I had to drive him in the golf cart to and from.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you what, I could talk to this window, and it would be warmer than David Bodie was. And listen, I'm I've been doing this long enough that when you get in the golf cart, I'm not a fanboy. I'm like, remember that time you hit a grand slam? I don't care, right? But part of my job is to kind of warm you up so when you do the interview, you're ready to talk. The dude could not have been a bigger dud. And I talked to some people when I dropped him off and I told them my experience. And some of the people around there were like, yep, that's David Bodie. He thinks he's Mike Trout.
Oh, God.
If we're going to tell the story truthfully.
Tell it right.
Danny's right. Danny is right.
And listen, I wasn't alone on that. I ran it by people and they're like, listen, that's who he is. You want to act like Mike Trout, be Mike Trout. But until then, when somebody's trying to just have some small talk with you, at least be a little engaging.
All right. 312-332-3776. We will get to your calls. Also, Matt Nagy on firing up his defense. Clearly, he loves Cap J. Hood Show. Clearly.
Take that.
Itching your morning sports fix. Cap and J. Hood on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
coffee poured or your tea or your Ovaltine or whatever it is you drink in the morning.
Is Ovaltine still made?
Yeah, it is. And I think we skew a little older. You know, for some, I think
apple juice. I don't know.
I think our younger people are probably not into Ovaltine. You're not on WGN anymore, pal. You don't have to cater to the Ovaltine crowd.
Like, what do people drink if they don't drink coffee or tea?
Water.
No, they gotta have something like to ignite the day.
No, not really.
Mallard, you're a coffee guy, right?
Yes.
Danny's a coffee guy. I know Hoodie's a coffee guy. He comes in every day with a big thing of coffee. I'm a coffee guy, but I've got friends who, like my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, hate coffee.
That's fine.
They're not tea drink. I'm like, what do you drink in the morning? Like apple juice? What are you, a little kid?
Whiskey.
Whiskey. Shot of Crown. So that's Hoodie.
Marshawn Lynch, take a shot before the game starts.
We just saw him on TV. Mm-hmm. Peyton's in a button-down shirt, all dressed up. There's Marshawn.
As far as you know, this is coffee.
Exactly.
As far as you know, you don't know what I need to get through this show every morning.
That's it.
With you.
Exactly. Yeah. You need three shots of Crown.
So you just see, as far as you know, it's just straight coffee.
All right, we'll get to Matt Nagy. Let's go to Izzy the mailman in Chatham. Izzy, what's up, Sparkles? How are you? Oh, we lost him.
Just went to him.
All right.
That's all right. He'll call back. He's on his route.
Then let's move on to Matt Nagy, who called out his defense on Monday. Matt Nagy changed his personality that day.
Yes, he did.
We don't ever see that. And then we just got to find a way to win a football game. Did you get a cup of coffee before you did that, Coach?
Sure.
Well, was there any blowback from the defensive players for what you said to the media?
The relationships that I have with these guys on defense, I'm extremely close with every single one of those guys. As a matter of fact, a lot of my discussion with y'all the other day when that was coming out, that's really, you know, coming from them too. Like they're frustrated and they were angry and they know that they can play better and they understand that. So it's kind of all of us talking when I say that. And there was zero concern in that regards. And I know, you know, it can come off that way to outsiders or people that aren't in the building, but I'll just say that there was zero concern of any of that where there's divisiveness or anything with me versus there was none of that. We're all in this thing together and we're in a great spot for that part of it. And now we just talk through, okay, why did that happen? Why did things go that way? And then, you know, I think that our defensive guys, they got a lot of pride and they're angry at how that went down. And I think that they respect and understand where I'm coming from because they believe the same thing. That's what we talked about. So, you know, that's just that's where we're at. And they're motivated to get back out there.
You know, the most overrated phrase or most overused phrase from him is where we're at. Well, you know where you are. You know where you're at? You're at 5-6.
He lost five in a row.
I don't know why he keeps asking that question or why he keeps saying that.
We know where we're at.
That's where we're at. We're at 5-6, and we're at a point in time where you can look at this team not being a postseason playoff team. So I don't know why he keeps using that. Like, you know where you are? You're in a position where the defense is going backwards and the offense is even worse. That's where you're at. If you got to keep asking the question, we'll give you the answer. Where you're at is that you suck.
Correct.
That's where you're at.
And much as I think he builds a good culture, I've gotten to know him a little bit. He's a really, really great person.
I don't care.
Bottom line is you're 27th, 29th, and 31st in offense, and that's what you were brought here to correct. And it hasn't worked.
Now listen. Now, there's going to be some that will speculate that there will be a divide. What I said the other day was, Cap, you don't want to have that, right? I just think that, yes, the defense might be speaking badly about themselves and their performance. Is it for you to also pile on, though? That's the team. That's the group that's been saving your ass for 2 years.
Right.
That was my whole point. What he said probably didn't cause a divide. Of course, no one can get in the locker room now because of COVID. So we have no idea what players are saying on and off the record unless you can text them.
Correct.
Right. So, but the point is though, is that you don't want to have that. You are in charge of the offense ultimately. That's why Pagano's on the other side. Pagano knows that the defense can be better, and they will be better Sunday against the Lions.
We hope
they'll be better against the Lions. That's getting away from the actual message. And the message is, how do you get out of the 20s in all your categories offensively? How do you get out of that? How do you get better offensively? So he masks it by saying the defense, man, that's an awful, like, he never speaks that way about the entire team. Never. It's usually focused on the offense. He usually gets one defensive question. You ever hear these press conferences? Because they say, like, that's not expertise.
Right.
Why ask Nagy about the defense? Now, a well-rounded head coach should be able to answer why your secondary wasn't very good. Why your defensive line cannot get to Aaron Rodgers. They don't ask him those questions. That's what Pagano's there for.
And Pagano feels like, I can't play the aggressive blitzing style that I probably would prefer, because if we get burned on a blitz, and that's what can happen, our offense can't cover us.
Sure.
We can't look up and go, son of a, we tried 2-0 blitzes and just almost got home, and guess what? The quarterback made a play, and we gave up an 80-yard touchdown. It's 14-0. We're done.
It's really two questions for me every week. The number one question is, when is Robert Quinn going to be more productive? Number two, are you concerned about the tackling and wrapping up? Because that was an issue in the Packer game this past Sunday, too.
Well, you had guys not even in their lanes.
Right.
Like the Jamal Williams touchdown, 13 yards, I think it was. He literally, Danny could have run through that hole.
Yeah.
He absolutely could have. And Danny weighs 160 pounds dripping wet. He could have gone right through the hole, right to the end zone.
That's why Tony Dungy thought that the Bears defense kind of just let go of the rope.
They gave up.
Yeah, that they quit.
100%. 3-1-2. Yes, Daniel.
I just think after the Broncos put Kendall Hinton out there Sunday behind center, we can no longer say Danny could have done that or Hoodie could have done that. Like, he ruined the fact that not just anybody can do anything on a football field. This was a professional athlete who completed 1 of 9 passes for like 3 yards. I couldn't have run through that hole, but I appreciate the compliment.
Yeah, I think you got to start putting that away.
Forever.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, go back and watch the All-22, because I have. Danny could have run through
that. I'm just telling you, oh, Kendall Hinton ruined that forever for all of us.
Yeah, I think you got to start. Right. I think you got to pack that away.
It's not that easy to complete a pass in the NFL.
Okay, we got to start packing that away, Cap. We can't use that anymore. We can't use that. You could put Danny. You could put Jeff. You could put JR. You can't do that anymore.
You know how many times my dad has called me after a Bears game and said, I could be under center better than Trubisky. No, Dad. Really, no. After watching Kendall Hinton, you could not have.
Correct.
Now, we're just here to observe how it's done right and how it was based on what experts say and based on our years of watching football, but we can't do it anymore. After watching that Broncos game, the idea that I could say, you know what, I could throw a pass in the NFL. When I saw Hinton back there struggling against the Saints, I said, yeah, I could do
that.
And
he's a professional athlete.
Yeah, I can't do that.
312-332-3776. Nothing better than afternoon NFL football. Next.
Take that.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
So, you've got Bears struggling to tackle. You got Matt Nagy calling out the defense. He says that's not a big issue. And then the Lions fire GM and head coach Daryl Bevel, who's been clamoring to get a job. He's interviewed for head coaching jobs for many years. He's now the interim guy. This is his chance. I mean, if he goes out and wins 4 of his last 5, maybe they hire him.
Yeah, but no, but see, you don't hire him. If I'm Mrs. Ford, I fire him today. Absolutely.
Excuse me?
Bevel, you fire him today. I mean, what kind of clown is first opportunity to talk to the press, tells the world that his daughters are going to get married? You saw that story, right? We just did that the other day.
We played it yesterday.
Yeah, who does that? Who sits there and says, oh, yeah, I'm going to have future son-in-law soon? Excuse me?
Has he asked yet?
Nope. No! You're fired! Get out! That's what I would do if Mrs. Ford, you know, I think she should just go from step to step, like, okay, Coach Pencil, you're out. Patricia, get out. And the general manager, you're out.
Bob Quinn.
Excuse me. Mr. Bevel, did you say beforehand that your daughters are going to get married? Oh, yeah. You're fired.
That's it.
Yeah, you're fired, too.
Hey, wrap up the press conference. Mrs. Ford is on the phone for you, Coach.
Yeah, you get out.
Yeah, you're out.
Wait, wait. So is that, do you feel better about that hoodie when the Bears are going up against the Lions when Bevel's letting the cat out of the bag in a media Zoom that his, you know, his daughters, their boyfriends have asked for their hand in marriage without actually asking yet? Or would you feel better if the Bears had Matt Patricia still on the sidelines? Like, is this a good move for the Bears or like a worse move in terms of their ability to win on Sunday?
I think that this increases their chances to win because Bevel apparently is going to give out all the game plan, too. You know, we're going to run the football a lot.
Oh, really?
Thank you.
Yeah, actually, the third play is scrimmage. I don't care where we're at. We're going downtown.
If he's just going to tell the whole thing, like, yeah, I think so. This guy's got, you know, loose lips sink ships.
Imagine,
right?
If the two daughters said, hey, let's get together and watch Dad's first press conference. And they're sitting there and he goes, by the way, my two future son-in-laws have asked if they can ask my daughters if they can get married. What?
What a moron.
Well, I hope his daughters both intend to say yes, because now it could be awkward. Like, if they're not really sold on the guy. Like, they're kind of like, eh.
I'll say this. If the two daughters are saying to those guys, let's watch my dad's press conferences, those guys should probably run for the hills anyways.
But they're being supportive, Danny.
Okay, let's watch my dad on a Zoom call talk to the media about the Bears.
Well, he's the first time head coach.
Okay.
It's exciting for that family, even though the coach is a moron. You don't reveal
wife
all that.
Probably waiting at the door with a skillet in her hand.
Did you say on the... Did you guys ask for your wives' father's permission?
I did.
Yes, absolutely.
No.
I did, yes. I think that's the right way that's the way you do it.
Yes.
Absolutely. And you know what he said? He says, well, she's your problem now.
That's it.
That was the response.
See if you could get her to show up on time for the wedding. Good luck to you.
That's the only time she was on time. Yeah, because it was her wedding. I just happened to be there.
I did. I asked Ron Semitas. I went to Dixon, Illinois. Can I ask your daughter to marry me?
Yeah. There's a pill for that, by the way.
Yeah.
Semitas. Back to the phone lines we go. Vaccine for that.
Steve in McHenry. Hey, Steve, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
How you doing?
Steve. Good. So I've been listening to you guys every morning driving into work, and I just had a quick observation that this is the first time that you've talked about tackling in a long time. And, Cap, real quick, you say you watch the All-22s, right?
Yep.
So there's a stat called YAC, yards after contact.
Yep.
And if you go back to the Colts game, that's when this is going to show up. I know that you've said repeatedly we have an elite defense, but I'm sorry, if you go back and watch those games, as soon as whoever's going through our front seven, and no offense, but it looks like our secondary is running around like double amputees just trying to tackle with their head and their shoulders.
Look, I think Eddie Jackson is a highly overrated NFL player. I do.
Who's rating him? Collinsworth?
Well, I mean, where is he, the second highest paid safety in the NFL?
You base it on his play versus his other cornerbacks, not his money.
But
well,
both.
I could say the same about Roquan Smith. I could say the same about Fuller, Screen. All those guys try and tackle with no hands and no arms.
Yeah, I feel like Kyle Fuller's a better tackler than you get. Appreciate your call, Steve. I think Kyle Fuller is a better tackler than Steve's giving him credit for. I think Jalen Johnson is a better tackler. I think Eddie Jackson is a lousy tackler.
That's fair.
I think Roquan is one of the leading tacklers in the NFL, but I also think he gets out. He does not have what we call lane integrity. That's your lane. Stay there.
Maybe not great in the Tennessee game. It's like 50-50, I thought, in the Tennessee game, where there was a penalty there and he wasn't great, and then he made up for it on a third down play. So, and I think he's getting better. I think he's a cornerstone for the Bears for some time to come, Roquan Smith.
Agreed. Agree.
I like him.
But I agree with Steve, the caller, that some of our tackling is awful.
Oh, no, he's right.
Awful.
Steve's right.
All right, 312-332-3776. More of your calls, and our guy Howard Griffith, Meller's partner on the postgame, talks Bears-Lions in 2 minutes.